regardless of how much money they have. It doesn't matter if they've got, if they've saved a little bit or if they've done a fantastic job saving. The number one thing people are scared about is running out of money. You think about it, for 30 years, most people work very hard saving money. And they have trained themselves to save, save, save. And then all of a sudden, retirement comes about. And now they're supposed to, instead of save, start taking money out of all those savings and live on it. And it is scary. It's a huge transition. We have to really help people look at that and think that through, because they are very worried. If I start pulling money out, will it last as long as I'm alive? So we believe that you got to have a plan in place, and we believe in an income plan that will help you. But that's the number one fear, running out of money, not having enough money to be able to provide for yourself.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy Show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today we have a guest from North Carolina. He's Raiden Stansel. He's a certified financial planning, a best-selling author, and the founder of Peace of Mind Wealth Management, a firm committed to helping individuals retire with excellence. As the co-host of the Secure Your Retirement podcast show, his insights have been featured in Forbes, Newsweek, Fox, ABC, NBC, and the Wall Street Journal. With over 25 years of experience, Raiden is an award-winning advisor who is highly sought after to work with executives, business owners, engineers, pharmaceutical professionals, and more. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
You're welcome too. Now, you have an unusual upbringing, I suppose, in that you have an older father. Would you like to share with the audience how you feel that that has helped you get on to the valuing of saving for your future early in life?
Yeah, I think it had a very large impact on me. My father was married and then went through being single for quite a few years, and then he married my mother. And when he married her, he was 50 and she was 31, and he, in conversation, found out that she wanted to have children. And so he said, okay. And so they decided that they were going to have children. And my dad was 52 whenever I was born. He had two more after me. So he had another child at 54, my brother and my sister when he was 57. So we had an older father. And what was kind of interesting about that is that means that my dad was born in 1919, which means he was still a young little boy whenever the Great Depression was being ended, but they were a very poor family. But that just really obviously made him think a certain way. And because of that, it made me think a certain way because of the way we were raised. So I'm 48. Many of my clients are 20 or so years older than I am. So our parents are similarly aged. My dad is actually so many times older than my clients' parents. But yeah, he thought about things from a different perspective. He didn't look at things like a scenario of somebody who was raised with a lot. He was a big saver, and he was somebody who always said you have to plan for times that are bad. And so that really formed my thinking and got me into the industry that I'm in today.
Wow. Well, what a marvelous upbringing that you've had. And my mum was born in 1929 and she's 91. Is your father still alive?
No, he passed away a few years ago at the age of 95. He was very healthy until the last couple of years. But no, he passed away a few years ago at 95.
Wow. A lifelong legacy, nevertheless. You have a beautiful name for your business, Peace of Mind Wealth Management. It must be comforting to your clients coming in with a name like that.
Well, you know, the idea behind the name was, is we work very hard. We work with most of our clients or individuals that are close to, which for us means about 10 years of retirement, close to retirement or already in retirement. And everything that the clients that we serve are worried about or concerned about is they want to make sure that they're going to be able to make it, not run out of money. And they are looking for peace of mind. And we thought there's no better name than for what we try to provide to our clients.
You mentioned before about planning for the unexpected like that. And things definitely unexpected what happened this year and what's going to affect our countries all around the world for another year or who knows how long this is going to go on for. So how can we invest and not have to worry about uncertain times?
Well, what we believe is that there's a big difference between two, what in all essence are major philosophies. One of those is buy a portfolio that's diversified and then hold that portfolio no matter what happens, meaning hopefully you're diversified, hopefully your risk tolerance is in the right place according to that strategy, and then you just weather the storm. You stay in there, you hang in there no matter what's happening in the market. We take a different approach. We believe that when you have active markets like we live through, and we've had many of them over the last, you know, 20, 30 years of different events that have occurred, that you need active management. So we believe that there is a time to be invested and there's a time not to be. So if the market is in demand, be invested. But there are times that we should be able to go to the sidelines and protect. And that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of data. But you take, for example, this year, our clients were comforted by the fact that they knew that there was a predetermined plan in place to protect them if the markets in all essence fail, which they did because of COVID, but that we didn't get a lot of phone calls. We didn't have a lot of people worried because they knew that a plan was already in place. So we just believe this, have a plan in place that says, if things start to get rocky, you might want to be able to have a navigation that says, I need to get out of the way and let the markets do what the markets are going to do.
Mm-hmm. Very wise, because it's been another bumpy ride this year, and who knows where things are going to end up, especially with what's happening over in America at the moment.
Correct. Absolutely. It's a difficult time for a lot of people because there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, we had conversations with people around the fact that we've just gone through an election. You probably know that there's been a lot of uncertainty around that election as to who is going to be the president. And we still have a lot of conversation around that here. And that has made a lot of people uneasy and wondering what's going to happen in the markets. And we just remind people that if you have a plan in place so that you can deal with whatever the markets bring, it just takes away the worry and it does give us peace of mind. And that's really how we work. We work with, let's have a predetermined, what we call sell side discipline in place so that if the problems start to occur, we can get on the sidelines.
All right. So what do you think when people come in to see you that they're most scared about when they're planning for retirement?
Well, here's something I think that's kind of interesting in this is that it, regardless of how much money they have, it doesn't matter if they've got, if they've saved a little bit or if they've done a fantastic job saving, the number one thing people are scared about is running out of money. You think about it, for 30 years, most people work very hard saving money. And they have trained themselves to save, save, save. And then all of a sudden, retirement comes about. And now they're supposed to, instead of save, start taking money out of all those savings and live on it. And it is scary. It's a huge transition. We have to really help people look at that and think that through because they are very worried. If I start pulling money out, will it last as long as I'm alive? So we believe that you got to have a plan in place, and we believe in an income plan that will help you. But that's the number one fear, running out of money, not having enough money to be able to provide for yourself.
Yeah, it's very interesting because do you find people think they have to adjust their lifestyle? Are they going to be able to afford the lifestyle that they've been used to while they've been working?
Absolutely. And again, I think what's interesting about that is, you know, most of the folks we work with have been very good at saving. But yes, they're very worried. Are they going to have to adjust? How are they going to adjust? And, you know, usually a good saver, they don't really have anything to worry about. They're not going to have to make a lot of adjustments. But absolutely, they don't know what the unknown is. It's a brand new world, and they're trying to figure it out and trying to navigate. So it is something that it perplexes them, and it makes them very concerned.
So what would you suggest for someone that is getting ready for retirement? What's the top things that they should get ready?
I think that, you know, one of the biggest things is understanding how they spend money. So an income plan. Now, most of our clients and most people, I think, they earn money, but they don't really look at their budget. Most people today, they don't live on a budget. They kind of say, hey, I make so much money. And then if I have money left over at the end of the month, that's great. And I save money, but they're not really budgeting everything. So I think for somebody who is getting close to retirement, they need to kind of look and say, how much money am I actually spending? We ask that question all the time, by the way. We say, how much money are you spending, like dollars out the door after taxes? You know, so you got money coming in, money going out. How much are you spending? Very few people without some thought on that can answer that question. Most people go, well, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what happens here. Some years it's this, some years it's that. And they're kind of all over the place. So we say, look, take a little bit of time and think about where you're spending, how you're spending money. We don't really care about how much are you spending on a house or a car. Our thing is, how much are you spending in the month? And if you know that number, well, then we can build a plan. So number one, build an income plan. Number two is understand how much risk you feel like you can have on your investments. Because most people have a lot more risk on their investments than they realize. And so we say you got to understand what your risk is. And then the third area we believe is really important is estate planning. So have a good estate plan in place, meaning a lot of people do not have wills. They don't have a power of attorney. They don't have a healthcare power of attorney. And that can be a pretty major catastrophe if something happens to you and you leave behind a spouse or somebody else. And so we believe you need to have that in place.
Okay. Transitioning from work to retirement, is this something that helps people get used to retirement and helps ease them in financially? Is that a strategy that a lot of people are doing these days to help them get ready for retirement?
Well, I think that a lot of our clients, the way they transition is they will, you know, some of them will do consulting on the side, or they'll work part-time on the side that kind of gets them into that phase. They might quit the career that they've had for a long time and maybe do something on the side. But we find that typically it's a 1 to 3 year transition phase mentally to go through from work to non-work. And again, a lot of our clients find out that, you know what, I don't want to not work all the time. I want to do something. So they'll either volunteer or they'll work part-time, they'll consult. And that really helps that transition go a lot better.
Thank you. It's interesting how different people get ready for retirement, but how far ahead are people actually preparing for retirement? Are they coming to you at the last minute and say, have I got enough to retire on? Or are they actually thinking about it when they're much younger?
I would say the vast majority are not really seriously thinking about it when they're younger. They're saving money. They're putting money into their 401k. But most people don't get really serious about retirement planning until about 10 years out. So for us, that's, you know, typically about a 50 to 55 year old person. Now they're saying, whoa, it's getting close. I'm 10 years out. I really need to figure this out. And they're starting to really start trying to think through everything. So most of the people, I think, get serious about 10 years out from whatever their retirement age is.
And is that enough?
I think it's enough if you've been a good saver. The 10 years out part is the last, I call it last minute, you know, planning. But if they've been a good saver, that's plenty of time. If the person comes to us and they've not been saving and now they want to figure out how to save money for the next 10 years, it's way too late. That's not a good plan. If you've been saving, you've been doing a good job there, then 10 years is plenty of time.
10 years. Okay. So what are some of the pitfalls that people should avoid when they're doing their retirement plan?
So it's probably, you know, kind of piggybacking off of the things we think you need to do most. So a lot of people, the number one pitfall is not having a clear income plan. That's huge. I mean, we find that all the time that people just have not spent any time doing that. I think another huge pitfall is people, they hear things on the radio or they read an article in a magazine, but a lot of people have way too much risk on their portfolio. For example, we always walk people through this thought process. If I have an amount of money and I lose 50% of the money, so I have $100,000 and I lose 50%, I've only got $50,000. If I next year make 50%, a lot of times people mentally think, oh, I'm back to a break even, but they're not. They're only back to $75,000. You have to make 100% to recoup a 50% loss. So a lot of people have way too much risk exposure on their portfolio. And if that happens close to retirement, it can wreck your retirement. So that's huge. Not having too much on there as far as their risk is concerned. The other one is they have never thought about who their beneficiaries are. They don't have a will in place. And then that can just wreck the survivor. And then finally, I say this, that they follow the crowd. Again, they listen to a radio show host. They watch the financial TV shows and they think, oh, this is the way to do it. And most of the time when you hear stuff on TV, it's the wrong time to do it because it's too lagging. It's too late. And so don't just follow the crowd.
Okay. So that's where they're going wrong. I was having a look at your podcast show before, and I see one of the things that you've been podcasting about lately is how buy and hold is dead. Would you want to explain that a bit more?
Yeah. So what we, you know, again, an older strategy would be that you just buy this portfolio of stocks. So maybe you buy a stock, you know, many people who have older parents, they maybe owned an old stock like GE, something like that, or, you know, a long time stock. And they were taught you buy the stock because it's a good company and you just hold it. You're never going to sell it. You just, that's what's going to be there for you. And we believe that that day and age is gone. We believe that the markets are way too active. I'll give you an example. Right now, we've gone through this idea of the pandemic. And in a pandemic, when it started, tech stocks, the technicals went way high, meaning people started saying, oh, we need to buy stocks in companies that are going to help people work at home and be online. So we saw things like Zoom. Zoom stock just soared, right? Well, now all of a sudden, we've just found out this week that there is a pharmaceutical company that says that they feel like that they've got a vaccine that's going to do really well. All of a sudden, we're seeing those tech stocks do much worse than other stocks that will do well if we do go back to a, quote, normal lifestyle, rather. We believe that stocks go through different periods of being in demand and not being in demand. So sometimes, for example, if you went back to a 2008, in 2008, some people said we should just be in gold. Let's buy gold because the dollar, the US dollar is going to crash. Well, that didn't happen. And buying gold, if you bought gold back then and held it, it would have been a horrible investment. So what we want to do is follow what's actually in demand and own those things. Now, that does take data. It does take work. But if you just buy things and hold it because you think you should hold it, that's not going to be the answer. That's going to make your portfolio live through some pretty tumultuous times.
Traditionally, here, a lot of older people have held companies, stocks that paid a good dividend, like the banks, they always used to pay a good dividend, or the big telco companies paid a good dividend. But they've all been going through some bad, hard times as well. With the interest rates being so low, I remember back in the 80s when interest rates were really, really high and retirees didn't have to worry about investing choices so much because they were living off their income from term deposits, so to speak. Is there been, with these low, record low interest rates, has there been a change in how people have been investing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that people have, you know, for some people a while back, they would buy bonds, for example, that would pay a good interest or a good yield on their bond. We've seen that fall dramatically. A lot of people did hold CDs in the banks. That is no longer really a viable place for people to put money and get a good return because, as you said, interest rates are low. The problem with just buying a stock for the dividend, in our opinion, is that when you buy a stock for the dividend, it could be paying a great dividend today, and they can lower that dividend in the future. And if two things occur at one time, which means let's pretend that the stock fell in price or value and they dropped the dividend, you're stuck. I mean, you now would have to sell the stock at a loss or hold it at a much lower dividend than what you originally bought the stock for. So income planning is extremely important. We find that there's a couple different ways to do that. One of those is protect our assets, make sure they don't lose. And there are vehicles that do very well or are much more stable. Here, one of those is using something like a fixed annuity. Now, if you do that, we're able to fix our income, make it stable, and we can get a very, very good cash flow on those. We have to study those. There's a lot of options within the annuity world, so we have to be careful not to do things that will harm us. But we do find that the annuity arena can offer us a very attractive income stream. And if we couple that with a good investment strategy, it can build a very good, solid income plan.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks very much for giving that bit of insight into how we can invest for our income. It's been really interesting hearing you speak about something you're obviously very passionate about, and you've been helping a lot of people over a long period of time. So in conclusion, how would you summarize a strategy for someone looking at retirement? What should they be looking at? What should they actually do to help themselves?
I think number one, I'm going to repeat it. I think I've said it a couple of times. Number one, look at how much money you're spending. Get that under, and don't look at things like from taxes, because taxes always change. Just look and say, how much money am I spending? An easy way to do that is to say, after when you get what you get deposited into your bank account every month from your job, how much of that do you spend? Do you save any? So if a person has, let's say, $5,000, $6,000 a month coming in and they save $1,000, then they know they're spending five. That is sounds easy, but many people don't do it. It's just understand how much you're spending. And then if you're spending too much, then start breaking down where is that money going. Once we understand that, we can start to build a plan. So I think number one is get a hold of your income plan. And I think the other one is start to do some research or look at how investments and work and as far as what the risk exposure is and then how you feel about it. How do you feel about loss? At what point would you say, I'm not comfortable? And if you had a certain amount of money, say if I lost the dollar value, not a percentage, got to convert that into a dollar value, how would you feel about that? So those are my two big things. How much are you spending? How much risk exposure do you want?
All right. And I see you've authored a couple of books here, Take Control of Your Retirement Plan So You Can Sleep Better, Get Confident, and Be Prosperous. That's a very interesting title. Have you got any more books in the pipeline?
We do. We have a book that's coming out the first of the year, and it is called Secure Your Retirement. That's the name of our podcast show, and we decided that we would marry those two things together. We feel that that is something people are really worried about, and so we wanted to make sure that we had something that people could have as a resource that would walk them through all the things I just talked about. So the book, Secure Your Retirement, which will be coming out the first of the year, walks people through how do you view income planning. We break income planning down into three categories. Number one, essential needs. How much money do I absolutely have to have in order just to live? Number two, how much money do I need in order to have all of my wants taken care of? And then the third one is what we call legacy or giveaway, meaning do I want to have money that I give to my kids, a charity, whatever that might be. So it helps you walk through that income plan. We talk about risk tolerance. We talk about how to pick a financial advisor. So it is really a resource that somebody who's getting ready for retirement can take that, and it gives them a nice little blueprint.
Oh, that's marvelous. It sounds like it's going to be a really good read and very helpful. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about your company, your podcast, and your books?
So the best way is to go to our website, which is pomwealth.net. If they go to pomwealth.net, and if you go to pomwealth.net/podcast, we actually have a video series that we've put together called Four Steps to Secure Your Retirement. And it's a four video series that walks people through all the different little baby steps of what you need to think through when it comes to getting ready for retirement.
Well, thanks very much for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show today. You've been listening to Randon Stansel, and he's from Peace of Mind Wealth Management, and the podcast show is Secure Your Retirement. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It was very nice to be here.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.